Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
We're here with Maddie Ray, and if you are following NRT socials, you will have seen our guest, Maddie Ray. She has been doing a series of exclusive devotionals for us, and well, now here you are on the podcast here, Maddie. Good to see you.
Yes, no, it's so good to see you. And thank you, Jake, so much for having me on. And thank you to the whole New Release Today family. I mean, I have loved just being so a part of that and being able to offer these exclusive devotionals and just do that. And you guys have just been so wonderful and really just sharing a lot of the things that I've been doing. So I'm just grateful to be a part of the NRT fam.
That you are. And Maddie, introduce yourself a little bit. I know you live in Northern Illinois. Mm-hmm. Just introduce a little bit about where you've kind of come from, your pastor's kid, and just the journey that led you to kind of where you're at here.
Yeah, so I'm in Waukegan, Illinois, so we're a little bit more north of Chicago. And my parents, they are pastors. They founded our church here in Waukegan, Illinois over 25 years ago called Church of Joy. And so I am extremely involved and a part of our church. I love our church. Everything that even I do today, which I'll talk about, it's really an extension of our church and it's an outreach of our ministry. Over 25 years ago, and my parents founded our ministry, their first priority and first intention in doing it of what God was calling them to do was really to reach a young generation. And so I grew up watching my parents do tons of outreach and evangelism and programming, and we were reaching thousands of kids and teens every single week. And so I grew up in all of that and watching all of that happen, just grateful to my parents that they made me feel so a part of that as well. You know, being a pastor's kid, sometimes those that grow up in the church and their parents are pastors, you can feel like, oh, that's just my parents' ministry. That's just their church. You know, that's just their thing. I don't really have a place in this. You know, I'm just trying to figure out my own life. And I'm grateful that my parents really made me feel a part. They let me help and be a part and lead out on things and just do all of that. And so part of that was really what launched me into what I'm doing today. When I was 12 years old, we did a kids TV show called The Maddie Ray Show that I did. And so I was 12 years old teaching kids through this show that aired through the Chicagoland area. And it was to further highlight what we were doing for kids and teens. And it was just another initiative of our ministry. And then around 14, between 14 and 16, we created an all-girls Christian rap group. And so we would travel rapping, dancing, singing, and all of that. But again, it was really just for like our church and the young people we were reaching. And so we were doing so many different initiatives in our church that I was just able to be a part of. And my parents, you know, who are the pastors, really gave me and other young people as well, just many opportunities to use our gifts and talents for God, to be a part of the church and to do those things. Around 18 is when I really started taking kind of some of those things that I was doing more seriously, started writing my own music. During that time of my artist, I also became the youth pastor at our church at 18 years old. So I started preaching and doing all of that. Around that time, oddly, probably by way of what the Lord had planned, I began to get some national exposure for the music that I was doing and for the preaching that I was doing as well. And so that's when we kind of looked at everything as a family and as a ministry and really saw it as an opportunity to kind of use me as a representative of all that we've been doing locally and take it nationally to now reach a generation across the nation through the music that I do, the evangelism, going out as an evangelist to preach and speak, and then also write books that accompany the message that I'm sharing with young people to help give them those practical steps and tools every single day in their life. And so from about 18 to now being 23 is when I've been kind of doing my ministry on a national level, but really it started since I was about 12 years old, doing it just at our church and being a part. And so I'm really grateful to where the Lord has me now today, being a Christian recording artist, an evangelist, and an author. Had no idea that's what God had for my life, but really grateful to see where the Lord has led us today.
It just always blows me away. I know I've said this before on the podcast, but me at 12 years old or 15 years old, like none of this would even have been half a thought. I mean, I think I picked up the guitar about 15, but Like, yeah. This whole thing, like, that just blows my mind that you're, like, 23 years old. You already have all the stuff with the published books, and it's unbelievable to me. And I think somewhere along the line, I missed something. Like, I could have, what could I have done if I wasn't, like, a snot-nosed kid in my teens or...
Well, you know, that's why, though, I do what I do today, because I know that my story is not very common. I know that so many other young people, they are trying to find their identity and their purpose and what to do with their life. And I've allowed God to use my life really to be an example to show young people that it's possible, to show the version of you at 12, 15 years old, like, hey, no, you can do this. Like, there is a plan and a purpose for your life. And this is how to come into that, because I think a lot of young people are told you need to live your life for God, or hey, God has a plan for your life, or hey, you know, your life can be so much more. But we're not always given the steps and the tools on how do I actually walk that out? How do I do that at 13 years old and start finding what my identity is when this world is telling me I can have whatever identity I want? How do I find what my purpose is when there's so many other options out there? But what was I truly created to do, and who was I truly created to be? And so that's something that I'm extremely passionate about, is helping young people find that, to find their identity and to find their purpose, and to know that they can do that now at the youngest age that they're at, whether they're 10 years old or 20 years old or wherever they're at in their life. God wants to do something in them right now. They don't have to wait till they're older. They can start walking that out right in this very moment.
So let's start talking about your passion for the next generation, which, like, it's just, once again, the whole crazy of, like, you're the next generation. Like, I used to be there, and now, like, I'm starting to enter that phase in my life where my kid is 11, and, like, that whole next generation is, or I'm having to start leading the next generation instead of being a part of it. Blows my mind.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that I've heard, and something that's changed from my teens to this, is just all the information that's at our fingertips. You know, be on our phone, our computer, or whatever, and one of the things that I heard our youth pastor, our next gen pastor at our church say was, we have so much information. We have all the information. A teenager can see all the information in the world right at their fingertips. Mm-hmm. But where the young next generation really needs the guidance is how to interpret that information, how to take what you see and what you hear and interpret that and put it into the faith context, figure out the truth behind it. And what this next generation has to deal with right now is just, I think, unprecedented in the last, 150 years?
Yeah, I think there's so much that this young generation is facing today. And I think when I get asked the question, even too, you know, what is one of the biggest things you think young people are facing or battling? I think my answer to that always is, they're asking the question of what is truth? They want to know, what is truth? And I think today we're living in a generation that tries to say, well, my truth can be my truth and your truth can be your truth. But as believers, as Christians that know the Bible, we know that there's only one truth, and his name is Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so I believe today what this young generation needs, although they have so much at their fingertips, although they have so much knowledge, although there's so much information and they can, you know, receive so much, I believe what young people need today is they need a true encounter with Jesus, because you can always hear about Jesus, but never encounter Jesus. You can hear about the faith, but never encounter your faith. You can always come across these things, but never come into what God has for you to come into, whether it's his truth or his understanding or the life that he has for you. And so I believe that young people need a true encounter. Now, what does that look like? Well, that looks different for every single young person. But I know for me, when I had a true encounter with God, and this was several years down the line of me growing up in church, me loving God and loving the church. And, you know, thankfully I wasn't a rebellious young person. I didn't leave the church and rebel. Thank God I didn't do that. I loved God. I loved the church. I loved my family and my parents. I still live at home. Like, I'm not trying to go anywhere. So I loved it. But I remember in my later teens, I hit a wall in my life. I hit a wall in my faith. I hit a wall with just some things that I was facing in my life. And I went to the Lord and said, Lord, I am at a crossroads right now. I'm either going to go fully into my faith and understand understand what this life needs to look like for me, or I'm just going to fall away and I'm going to go into the world and live however I want to live my life. And I asked God, I said, Lord, I need you to reveal yourself to me. I need to have an encounter with you. I need you to become more real in my life than anything else that is around me, more real than anything I'm facing, more real than anything else I could experience. I need an encounter with you. And God answered that prayer, and he gave me an encounter with him. I began having encounters in my room where the presence of God would come in and I would feel him in such a real way. He would speak to me. I would see visions of what of the life that God had for me. And I began to encounter the Jesus that I always heard about and that I always read about. And I believe that that's what this generation needs. I believe that if young people would call on the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to me, I believe that he will. He did it in my life, and I believe that he can do it in others' lives. And that's when what we're reading in the Word of God, it just becomes God's alive Word. It's alive. It's active. It's right now. It's moving in us. And it becomes more than just something that we're reading, something that we're hearing about in a service, something, you know, that, you know, we know we should be living like this or believing in God. But I can say at 23 years old, having encountered God, there is nothing on this earth that would be able to persuade me from believing in the Jesus that I believe in and living out the word that he has given us. There's nothing that can persuade me from that because of the encounter that I've had with Jesus. And I believe young people need that today.
A couple of things that have changed since I was a young person, a couple of the major ones, you know, like I said, the internet. One of the things too is just social media. And just having a phone in our pockets, and something that we've seen over this last year and a half is just how quickly stuff gets to us and is either in your face, whether you're a target of cyberbullying, just watching social media, whatever it is. We have such a hard time, like what you're saying about truth, with the phones that we have in our pockets, we can sit and we can record video and have it up on social media in an instant, whether it's true or not, telling a story. We want to tell our story, but we don't want this little piece that might debunk our story. And I mean, we've seen that happen so much from every different angle, from so many different things, just this race to get it out there, to be first, to be viral.
Yeah.
Just even us as adults, we've seen just how hard it's been. How do we not only process it ourselves, but just lead the next generation and how to really push past that as well? I mean, that's happened in the church. That's happened everywhere else. I mean, that's something that adults are struggling with. How do we push that down to the young generation to pull out of that?
Absolutely. Well, and as I share this, I don't know if you hear a lot in the background, but they're cutting grass outside. So just so you know, that's the noise in the background.
Real life, real life.
Real life, yeah, they're out there. But I think the biggest thing, you know, I go back to what is truth. And I wish I had my Bible next to me right now, but we have to go to the Word of God. I mean, that is where our truth comes from. When we read the Word of God, that's when we're able to take anything else that we see. Thank you. My mom just got it for me. This is what we need. This is the answer. If we want to know, how do we decipher all of these things, right? All of these videos that are coming out, all of these stories that are coming out, all of these other truths that are coming out, all of these things. For believers, as Christians, which is why we must spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, other people must come to know Jesus, because you can't try to enforce something like this on someone that doesn't even believe in Jesus. That doesn't make sense for them. We have to lead them to the Lord so that way they understand that this book right here, this is truth. This is where we get our understanding of what is right and wrong. What is truth and what is not truth? What is God's will? What is not God's will? What is God's way? What is not God's way? I think a lot of young people, or people in general, find themselves falling away from the faith because they give heed to some of these other just things that people say, deceptive spirits, if you will, that's what I would call it, are these deceptive spirits, these things that deceive us, these other concepts and philosophies and other truths, but they're not truths. And we get so carried away with that because we don't know what this says. We don't know what this says as it pertains to how we live our life, of what we should believe when it comes to certain things that we're facing. There are things that are going on in our world that if we take a secular or worldly approach to it, we won't see the fruit that God wants us to see with us actually going with his word. We'll go with our way. We'll go with our thoughts. We'll go with our opinions. We'll go with everybody else's opinions because everybody has an opinion. But as Christians, We go to the Word of God. I can tell you today, with everything that I see on social media, with everything that comes through on my feed or on my Explore page or on my For You page or whatever it is, I am, like I said before, I am not wavered because I know what's truth. I know what I should believe. And so I tell any person, whether young or old, now, today, more than ever, with all that's coming at us on social media and the news, we need to read the Word of God. That is our answer. There's no, we don't have to overcomplicate it and make it like, well, we've just got to go do all these things and create all these classes and create all this stuff. We just need to go to the Word of God. And I believe that when we approach God's Word and say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me what you inspire to be written. That's every time I go into God's Word, that's how I approach it. Because I know if I just read it by myself, I'm not going to understand any of it, because sometimes it can be hard to understand. But I say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me what you inspired to be written. You are the author of this book. And if I read this with you, you giving me revelation on what it means, then I will understand it. And every time I've done that, I've understood it. And I believe that if people today will go to the Word of God, we will have such strong convictions on what is right, what is wrong, what is holy, what is not holy, what is clean, what is not clean, what is God's will, what is not God's will. And today we need that to decipher through all these other things, but not to just decipher it, but to then be proactive and go out. And for us, we then post the truth. We then post God's will. We then counter all those other things that are coming through, and we go ahead and we influence others as it pertains to God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
This is kind of a half tie into kind of the next thing that's really changed, but where I live, in the school district that I currently live in, there is a school shooting, or a shooting at school, however you want to classify that, just as we're recording this a couple months ago. And the first thing that happened, it was still fresh. We had no idea what was going on. The news was just still rolling 24/7. And the first thing that happened was everybody went to social media. And everybody had their stuff. You had the Moms Demand Actions kind of crowd being like, oh, well, you know, this is why we need more gun control, which we can go down tangents like that. But, I mean, that's not even half the story there. Or we have, it's just another thug. Or all the stuff was just coming out. And what was breaking my heart through that whole thing is everybody's sitting there bickering online. We don't know the full story. We don't know what happened. We don't even know who the suspect is. Or, well, when we just found out who the suspect was and all that. Everything that was missing from social media is, what happened to this kid? What led this kid to the point where he thought that this was the viable option? Like, everybody had injected what they wanted to push into this through social media, through all the stuff. And that was the thing that really broke my heart watching all this, was just that kid was not even a factor in this whole thing. Yeah, he may have been kind of the center of it, but he was gone from the whole conversation as soon as everything came out because of, you know, the power of social media. Everybody had, and everybody wants to be first. Everybody wants to be viral. They want to push their opinion. And here you have this kid sitting in the dust. That's just heartbreaking to me.
Extremely. And that's why we need God's perspective. Because I think there are so many voices. There's so many opinions. There's so many thoughts. And, you know, everyone thinks they have the answer to what needs to be done and what needs to happen and what needs to be this or that. But at the end of the day, the Bible says, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 7:14, I think is, or 2 Corinthians, where it says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I think today, we as God's people, as a nation, with everything that's gone on, we have to humble ourselves. We have to pray. We have to seek the Lord on all of these matters that are going on. We have to turn from the ways of this world and the way that they think they're going to solve all of this stuff and truly turn to God. And I believe that God will hear the cries that we have, the cries for a young generation. This young man that went through all that he went through and now has done what he's done that has hurt others, both parties. We need God. He needs God. Those that he's affected need God. We need Jesus Christ in our nation. That's why as the church, as the body of Christ, as Christians, we must lead out, not just on social media and everything that we think we need to say. We must lead out when it comes to seeking the Lord, when it comes to praying? Where is the prayer at? I mean, we don't talk about anymore how years and years and years and years and years ago, prayer was taken out of public schools. We need prayer. If there's anything we need to be pumping back into our schools, it's not some of these other things they're trying to educate our kids in. We need to be pumping prayer back into our schools because young people need that. As a nation, as a people, as God's people, there's a responsibility that we have for this young generation. We have a responsibility for our nation. We have a responsibility for the lost of those that don't know Jesus. We have a responsibility to turn our heart to the Lord and to pray and seek God in these matters, to gain the wisdom of God, to gain the ways of God, to gain the perspective of God. That is when we see the fruit of God and the will of God and the kingdom of God being set up here, which is what we need because we live in a fallen world where we see all that we see happening today. And there's a lot that we see happening today. There's a lot of people that are being hurt and that are hurting in this world today and in our nation. And we need Jesus Christ. This is why we must share the gospel. This is why young people must feel empowered to live out their life for God. This is why people within the church must be equipped on how to go out and do that. Because the ways of this world are not going to answer the problems that we have today. It is going to be the counsel and the wisdom of God. And as God's people, we're responsible to bring that.
And that leads into kind of the second big thing that's changed since I was, you know, a teenager is the school systems. And mind you, I grew up in small town Wyoming. I think I graduated with 30 kids, 35 kids. Wow. So, you know, it's a little bit different perspective down here, but just watching kind of what's going on in school systems, deciding what we're doing with our kids and how we're going to educate our kids and stuff. It's a completely different game between some of the No Child Left Behind, a lot of the anti-bullying policies and a lot of that kind of stuff that's happening in the schools, which is what ultimately led to, you know, this kid that we're talking about, you know, was just a failure of anti-bullying policies to the point where he was being severely bullied and there was just no action behind is what I had heard. What was kind of coming out was that he just didn't have any other escape from some of the bullying that he was encountering. And just, you see all this stuff happen in the schools and prayers taken out. We have teachers that are trying to be activists, you know, in different areas of the country that instead of educating, they want to push their dogma. We saw some of that during COVID. That became a little bit more apparent during COVID that teachers were trying to be a little bit more, like I said, this isn't everywhere because there are some fantastic teachers. We have some on our crew here at NRT and there are like some absolutely fantastic, I don't want to take that away, but we've seen this crop up in the school systems that, you know, teachers were not liking doing the teaching from home because parents might hear what they're talking about or some of the stuff that has come out that popped up across the country here and there. You have all this stuff. So, you know, how do we as a church, you know, as Christians and all that effectively get, you know, plug them back in? And I know this is a subject a little bit of your book Dwell, or at least down the lines of your book Dwell. Which I think is an Amazon exclusive release here recently, if I remember right.
Yes, it just released last week.
Talk a little bit about how we, you know, now that we've, you know, in the school systems where I spent all this time, it seems like we've unplugged. And like I said, this is me watching from the outside. It seems like we've just left them to fend for themselves. How do we plug it back in and give them Jesus and get them plugged back into their faith where they're not walking away by the time they're done with all of it, the social media aspect and all that too? You know, how do we pull that together?
Yeah. Well, I think number one, there has to be a priority that's put on young people again within the church. That's the biggest thing. I think churches today, which I love the church. So anytime I talk about the church, I always say it in a very edifying way because I love the church. I never say anything against the church. I believe in God's church. And I know not everybody maybe represents it the absolute best, but at the end of the day, it's still God's house. It's still God's establishment and it's his church. And so I believe the way that the church was created, it was created to be that place that raises up our young people, teaches them the truth, indoctrinates them with God's word, and gives them opportunity to come into their identity and purpose that God has for their life. I believe that the church is responsible for that. The church is responsible to put a priority on young people, to create a place where young people feel a part, a place where young people feel safe, a place where young people can find their identity, they can find their purpose, they can come to know who they are in Christ. And as the church, in doing that, that also comes by way of indoctrinating them with God's word. With the school system today, we see the school system indoctrinating our young people with secular ideas, the things of this world, all of these different ideologies and philosophies and all these different agendas that the world has, pumping that into our young people. Well, as the church, we must pump the word of God into our young people. We must teach them what is truth, because if they don't hear it from us, they're going to receive it from someone else. If certain things aren't talked about in the church, they're going to be talked about in the world, but in a secular way. And so we have to be very intentional about how we train up our young people in the church. And I use the word intentional, and I'm gonna give an analogy that I've been using lately about how the world is being very intentional with our young people and how we must be that much more intentional. When you read in the book of Daniel in the Bible, Daniel chapter 1, we get this story and this picture of what's going on during that time of how the children of Israel, God's people, they're in captivity to Babylon. And so we see King Nebuchadnezzar during this time calling for the children of all of the children of Israel, calling for their young people to pretty much bring them into their Babylonian system. And so Nebuchadnezzar starts calling, give me all of your young people, your young men, the ones that are good looking, the ones that are intelligent, the ones that are loyal, the ones that are noble. Give me your kids. I want your kids because I want to train them into our way so they can be a part of our culture. And so we see this group of young people going into this system of Babylon that King Nebuchadnezzar is bringing them into. And when he brings them into that, the things that he begins to do with these young people when he brings them into this culture is he changes their names. So you have Daniel, you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but before their names were Mishael, Hananiah, Azariah. Their names get changed to Babylonian names, which is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their names get changed to I serve the moon god, or I serve this god in the Babylonian system, and all of these different things. And when he changes their name, what he's really doing is he's changing their identity. He's changing who they were first created to be to now who they can become within this culture. Then what he begins to do is he begins to train them up and says it's going to take about 3 to 4 years for us to indoctrinate into them the ways of the Babylonian culture. This is why we must be very careful when we send our children off, even to some of these secular colleges that are out there. Not that I'm completely against secular colleges, but there's a lot that can be taught in there that's very humanistic, secular humanism, and just all of those other things. So you see these young people that are being trained up in that, in the Babylonian culture. And then you see them setting up a table saying, this is the kind of food that you're going to eat. This is what you're going to drink. You're only going to eat food off of this table. Thus setting up these young people that were used to God's ways and eating the things that God told them to eat and living the way that God told them to live, now having to have the desires and the cravings of the Babylonian culture. But at the very end of that entire chapter, Daniel says, I will not eat what is on this table. I will not defile myself with the things of this Babylonian culture. And I believe in two ways from that. Number one, there must be a remnant that begins to rise up that will say, I will not defile myself with the things of this world. I believe there is a remnant of young people today that say, I am not going to partake in these things that I'm being taught in my school. I'm not going to partake of the culture that I'm seeing on social media and all of these different things in society and all of that. I'm not going to partake. I'm going to separate, consecrate, and dedicate myself unto the Lord. Now, how was Daniel able to do that? Because of the way that he was raised. There was a faith that was so strong within Daniel of, I am not going to waver from the things that I have been taught in my faith, which is what brings me to my last point. This is why, as the church, we have to be intentional. because King Nebuchadnezzar, and this is an analogy of what's going on today, of the world system today, was being very intentional in how we're going to groom these young people to make them a part of the culture that we want them to be a part of, to believe the things that we believe in, to serve the gods that we serve. If they're being intentional about that, how much more intentional should we be as the church? Should we be as God's people? So lastly, I say, how do we do that? We create programs within our church so young people can be a part. We create opportunities for them to use their gifts and talents. We share with them what their identity and their purpose is and give them the confidence to walk that out. We equip them with God's words so that way they're bold and they can stand on their faith even when they're in these secular environments. We as the church are responsible for creating that environment to equip our young people to go back into that world that they're in, to be able to stand for what's right and not waver in their faith where they fall into the things that are in this world.
That's powerful.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to wrap up here talking a little bit about your music, because we haven't hardly even touched on that other than the girl rap group, which I don't see that anywhere in your catalog here.
Yeah.
that needs to come back.
I just share that as a fun fact. That's a fun fact.
I think we need to see that come back.
Well, I will be doing more hip hop music next year, which I'm very excited about, because that's definitely part of my roots, is that hip hop and that rap. And I kind of started out there, but recently I've released more kind of pop, urban contemporary type of music. And I've released a lot of different singles this year. And so throughout the whole year, I've released singles, I've released music videos, and for some of the songs that I've released, I've released a book to go with it. So this book, Dwell, well, the re-release of this book is my fourth book. I've written several other books this year that have gone along with some of the songs, such as No Bad Days, a book about how life is good because God is good, especially coming out of all that we've come out of this past year, last year, is knowing that no matter what's going on around us, our God is still good. Therefore, our life can still remain in a place solid in him. So I did that one. I released a kid's book called Never Let You Go, where I teach children how to never let go of their faith in Jesus. And that's part of a song. And then I did another song called No More Lies. And we did a book to that where I talk about finding your identity and purpose in Christ. And so the latest song that I released, I'm actually about to release another one, but the latest one I released is Deserve Your Love, which that has just been amazing. I was able to work on that one with the hit songwriter, Makeba Riddick Woods. Man, it's just a beautiful song that is a reminder of God's love for us. In those moments when we feel unworthy, undeserving, those moments when we don't know where to go, we're kind of asking God, where are you in the midst of what I'm going through? It's a reminder that God loves us. He's here for us. He sees us and he cares about us. And we were able to accompany that song with a beautiful music video in this incredible like mansion is what we did it in. And so it was incredible. And I liken the mansion to even just the grandness of God. I think when I look back and I watch it, I'm like, man, just like we can sit here and go, wow, that's incredible. It's so grand and so great. Our God is that much greater. He's that much grander. He's that much more amazing. And so loved doing that. That was my latest release. And then I'm about to release a Christmas song. It's a cover of This Christmas. And so that's going to be coming out around this weekend, which I'm excited about. But a lot more music is going to be coming out next year. And like I said, it's going to be more pop and hip hop, which I can't wait to do because I love performing hip hop music and I love dancing and rapping. And so we'll be bringing more of that back in 2022. So that'll be exciting.
Well, Maddie, I feel like we could do a 5-hour podcast with you. It's just been so fun. But, well, here, how about this? There's these devotionals on New Release Today.
Yeah.
That I think might just cover some of this. Maybe I'll just let you take care of that with our exclusive videos.
Yeah.
You could cut out the middleman here.
We'll just get more out through those, but those have been great. So I encourage anyone watching this, if you haven't caught those exclusive devotionals that I've been doing, go check them out. I do them every single Monday, and then we're getting ready to do a whole nother slew of them, kind of more geared towards this holiday season with Christmas coming up and all of that, just helping prepare us for that and to be reminded of who Jesus is in our lives. And so more of that will be coming out and everything. And then when I'm on there, I talk about all the new books as well, and all the new resources. And like you mentioned, the new Dwell book that just came out, it's a revised and expanded edition. And so I released Dwell the first time back in 2019. It was my first ever book. And really, it's my testimony. It's my life. It's our story. But it also gives a lot of practical keys and tools on just how to live the life God intended. That's kind of the subtitle there, is how do I live the life God intended for me to live? And so I talk about that, but that's available on Amazon as an Amazon exclusive. But a lot of resources out there, a lot of things you guys can catch, a lot I do on social media as well. My social media is all to help just encourage you and to provide more resources. And so you can check all that out and just continue to be encouraged.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Maddie.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jake. I appreciate it.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.